Thank the Lord for that privilege that we have tonight to bring all of our sin, our burdens, the frustrations of life, all of the failures, all of the weariness, all of the disappointments, and we have a wonderful privilege tonight to bring it back to the cross and leave it with Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful tonight that that song, as it brought out, I believe, but as it ministered to me, this goes beyond just that one work of salvation. I am so thankful that when we had sin in our life, that we brought our sin and our ugliness to the Lord, and He forgave us. And He made a new creature out of us. But after we give our heart to the Lord, do you know that there are so many things in life that we face? We face ourselves, we face the things of life that will try to zap you of the joy of the Lord. And when we face those things in life, we can come back to the Lord over and over again at the cross and find a place of renewal. We can find a place of revival. We can find, you know that word revival? Re means again. In the Latin, it means again and again. Revival, rebirth, renewal, reconsecration. That there are areas in life, yes, we don't take away from the instantaneous work of salvation. We don't take away from the instantaneous infilling of the Holy Ghost. But we have life to live. And if y'all live very long, you know exactly the truth of this. That there are times in life that we need to be revived. There are times that we need to rededicate. There are times that we need to reconsecrate. That we come back to the cross. We come back to the place where the Lord met us, where He can renew us and renew our vision and give us new inspiration to continue the work of the Lord in living life. Burden the Lord put on my heart to share with you all this evening. It's written on the board. It says, go back to Bethel. I'd like to begin over in the 28th chapter of Genesis. We desire an interest in your prayers tonight. Y'all know the history of Jacob. Jacob did some devious things in his life. Tricked his brother in a sense. He wasn't real charitable to his brother when he tried to buy his birthright. He was not following the golden rule. He had a lot of self-interest. And he definitely was deceptive when he went into the presence of his father and stole the blessing that really belonged to Esau. Esau had it out for Jacob. And you know, home would not have been a very pleasant place for Jacob. And we read in the 28th chapter that Jacob went to find him a wife. He left behind him some trouble. And in the 10th verse we read, it said, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And God went on to confirm the covenant to Jacob that he had made to Abraham. And in verse 15, he said, behold, I am with thee. Now this is God speaking. I will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God. What a wonderful thing to have the Lord come and make a covenant with us. Do you know that God has made a covenant with each and every one of us tonight? The Lord has made a covenant with you. God made a covenant with Jacob here. We read, and going on reading down a little bit further, Jacob woke out of his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." Have you been to that place? I'm not talking about within these four walls. In your personal life, in your personal experience, have you made contact with God when God revealed Himself to you and you said, "Surely the Lord is in this place"? I know sometimes we question, was this God or is this the enemy working or are these my own thoughts? But I am so thankful tonight for the places that God has met me in clarity. That I had no question God was in this place. The Lord spoke to me. He revealed to me His plan and His way and His call on my life. Has not the Lord done those things for you? When He revealed Himself, that you could point back in the past and say, "I met the Lord." Jacob had no doubt but that it was God. And in verse 18 it said, Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil over it, on the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. And in verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow. Now God had made a covenant with Jacob, and Jacob set up a stone as a place of remembrance that God met me here. And he poured oil over it. A sign of anointing would be a sign of the infilling of the Spirit of God, the blessings of God in that place. And Jacob vowed a vow back to God. He said, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And the stone which I set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Jacob had met God and he made a covenant with the Lord. He said, Lord, if you fulfill what you told me, you're going to be my God. I'm not going to depart from you. I'm going to serve you. And more than that, he said, I'm going to give a tenth of everything. In other words, I'm going to give back. I'm going to enter into a relationship. God, if you're doing all this for me, I'm not just going to be about what I can get. But Lord, I'm going to give myself, something of myself, back to you. The word Bethel means the house of God. And the house of God is not these four walls that we are in tonight. The house of God is the place that you personally meet the Lord. It may be driving down the road. It may be in your room. It may be out in the wilderness, or it may be in the middle of a busy street. But the house of God is a place where you meet God and God reveals Himself to you. And He made a covenant. Those are special times, aren't they? We sing a song sometimes. It says, "Remind me, dear Lord." It says, "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then." Someone help me out. "Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. Remind me. Remind me, dear Lord." Tonight, do you remember? Do you remember some of your Bethels? Do you remember tonight, if you're saved, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the times after you saved that the Spirit of God came and He dealt with your hearts? You know, when we get saved, we're just starting our journey. We've got a lot of living to do, folks, after we get saved. It's a good start and it's the right start. But there's a lot of living to do. And the Lord comes back. And He says, "This is the way. Michael, I want you to give this thing up. There was a Bethel right there. The Lord came along when he puts his hand on your life and he says, there's something I want you to do for me. That's a Bethel. When the Lord comes along and reveals himself and you say, Lord, I give that to you. I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I'm not going to turn back. But how quickly we tend to forget our Bethels. Over in Genesis 35, beginning with verse 1, God said unto Jacob, some years had transpired. There had been some living. There had been some disappointments. God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. Go back to Bethel. Go back to the place that I made a covenant with you. Go back to the place that you made a vow to me. I want you to go back to that place. Tonight, the Lord is calling for us to go back to Bethel. Remember the covenants that you made with God. Remember the promises that you made to the Lord. Remember the consecrations that you made. I know the religious world says much about rededicating your life. And many times when it's in light of the religious world, what it means is you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and you kind of continue living in your sin and you're just kind of coming back rededicating and make... Folks, I will say this. The Lord allows fresh starts. Do you know that? The Lord allows rebirth. If you have left the Lord tonight and you have backslidden and you one time knew the Lord is saying you can go back to Bethel tonight. I will forgive you of your sin. It doesn't matter how many times you've backslidden. It doesn't matter if you look around and feel a little bit of shame to come down to this altar again. The Lord is there with His arms wide open that you can go back to Bethel. The Lord wants you to come back tonight. There is none of us here tonight that have done something so egregious or so bad, but that God will not forgive us. The Lord loves us tonight. There's been some said already in this meeting about the prodigal son. Do you know that the father allowed his son, not only allowed, he welcomed him to come back home. And when the prodigal son was in the pig pen, he began to think back. He began to think back to Father's house. He thought back when the Father was there to provide for me and there was peace in the home. And I was comforted by my family. The very things that the prodigal son thought, I want to put distance between me and home. I want to put distance between me and the saints. I want to put distance between me and the church. I want to put distance between me and anything spiritual. Oh, do you know sometimes it takes some hard knocks. But when the prodigal son, it said he came to himself. In other words, he started thinking properly. He started thinking back home. And he said, I will arise and go back. I'm going to go back to where I came from. And do you know the father received him with open arms. Oh, the scripture says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And what will the Lord do? He'll abundantly pardon. But our job is to return unto the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord, and our God will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. If there are things that you're ashamed of tonight, and there are things that you've worked on, and you've tried this and tried that, there's a place that you can come back to Bethel tonight, thank God. And the Lord will forgive you, and he will restore. He will revive or make alive again. That which is dead tonight can be made alive in Jesus Christ. Do you remember when the Lord spoke to you? There is much said in the scripture about remembrance. God placed a rainbow in the sky. And you know the world, the devil does everything he can to take something that's pure and pervert it. But when we see the rainbow in the sky, I want to remember the message that God sent. And it was a covenant that God had made with man that I will never destroy the world again by water. Next time it's going to be by fire. But God placed a bow in the sky. It tells us in the book of Genesis that God placed a bow in the sky as a covenant with mankind. That every time we look at that bow, we would remember. In the Old Testament, there were so many places of remembrance. Do you know that was one of the purposes of the Sabbath day? One of the purposes of the Sabbath day was to remember the Creator. To remember the deliverance from Egypt. The Passover was a time of remembrance. Many of the holy days and the feasts of the Old Testament, it was for the purpose that mankind would not forget what God had done. Tonight, we are not living under the law, and we're not keeping one day holier than another, because every day is reserved, is worship to the Lord. But do we remember tonight the times that God revealed Himself? Do you remember the times the Lord came along and He spoke to you? And I'm not talking to us when our parents said, you do this or else. We're talking about when the Holy Spirit comes and He puts His arm around us and said, you need to make some changes here. There's some things you need to do differently. Do you remember those times? Do you remember those? Do you remember the Lord coming and calling you to be saved? I still remember. I was 4 years old. 4 or 5 years old, and I still remember at our chapel in Jefferson, Oregon, crawling underneath the bench with tears running down my cheeks because the Spirit of the Lord was convicting me. And my mother took me in the back room and I prayed to give my heart to God. I still remember. But do you know, since that time, there's been times of coming back to Bethel. I will say for children, especially that get saved at a young age, we're pretty immature. We've got a lot of learning to do. And it doesn't mean that when you're a child and you're saved that you won't ever get in trouble by mom and dad again. You're still children. But I also found for those that get saved at a young age, there comes a time in life when your understanding is open more. And you say, Lord, I'm going to come back to Bethel. Maybe you haven't left the Lord. Maybe you didn't backslide. But as you gain more understanding, to come back to a place, as the song said, Lord, I want to nail it to the cross. I've been struggling and I know I got saved and you forgave me. But Lord, I'm growing up now and the devil's kind of been taking advantage and working in my mind. Lord, I'm going to come back to you. I want to come back to Bethel. And I'm going to remember and rededicate my life. Folks, there's nothing wrong with that tonight. Rather, it's a good thing. If the devil has been pestering you tonight, if the devil has been messing with your mind and you don't really know where you are, it's a good time to listen to the Spirit of God when He says, go back to Bethel. I met you there and I will meet you there again. Now, Jacob, God said, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. And Jacob went. You can read the story. Jacob said, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in that day. Jacob remembered. And what he did, all the people that were with him, he said, get rid of your false gods. We're going to Bethel. You can't take false gods back to Bethel with you, folks. I want to go to the place that I hear the Spirit of the Lord talking to me. But folks, with the things of life, it's so easy for us sometimes to get overwhelmed and overburdened with life. And we need to go back to Bethel, to the place that I hear the Spirit of the Lord talking clearly to me. Sometimes we need to unload the wagons, folks. Sometimes we need to get rid of the weights, the things that are holding us back, because maybe I'm not hearing the Lord like I used to. Is there an answer to that? There is. Go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel and say, Lord, I remember the covenant that you made with me. I remember how clean I felt. I remember how I heard your voice so clearly. And I remember the peace that was in my heart. Lord, I don't have that like I used to. Oh, the message tonight is go back to Bethel. Go back to where the Lord met you. And folks, the Lord will renew and revive and He will refresh tonight, because that's what happens when we come into the presence of the Lord. There is refreshment. He will make fresh again. So I will arise and I will go to Bethel. Let's remember where we came from. Those that have strayed, go back to Bethel. The Lord's there. Remember that pillar that you placed. Remember the anointing of the Lord that used to be in your life. You can have something better than what you used to have. The scripture said, behold, the Lord saith, I will do a new thing. I'm going to revive. I'm going to take that which is broken and I'm going to bind it up. I'm going to take the backslidden, and you don't have to walk in with shame, because I met the Lord. He did something new in my life. And folks, He will do something new in your life tonight. But I want to go back to Bethel. I have found so many times in my own personal experience that I needed renewal from the Lord. How do we find renewal? I had to go back. And I'm not going to call this a confession. I'm going to call it a testimony. I've been journeying back to Bethel recently. All right? I'm not preaching something to you that I'm not living myself. The Lord has called me to come back to Bethel. Remember the covenant I made with you. You remember the covenant that you made with me. Going back for renewal and re-inspiration. To be revitalized from the presence of the Lord. Because folks, the devil wants to drain all of us of the life and the energy and the vision that God one time gave to us. He wants to do it as a people collectively, and He wants to do it to us individually. He wants to do it to every Sunday school teacher and every minister. I have seen too many ministers, especially in middle age time, walk away from God. And I thought, what is the answer? They needed to go back to Bethel. They needed to come back to the simplicity of the gospel and get back to the place that God met me here. And Lord, I'm going to renew my covenant with you. I'm going to renew my vows to the Lord. Tonight, I want to encourage you to come back to Bethel. If you're saved and have the Holy Spirit, there are times you're going to need to come back to Bethel. Because if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. Scripture over in Revelation, very familiar passage in the second chapter. He was speaking to one of the congregations there, Revelation chapter 2. We'll just turn and read it. The fourth verse. He was speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he first commended them for their works and their labor. He commended them. So this lets us know tonight that there is a condition that we can be laboring for the Lord. We can be holding the faith. We can be doing the right things. And nevertheless, the Spirit said, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. What is the answer? Go back to your first love. Renew and revitalize and rekindle that love that you have. He said, remember. Remember back. Therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick. Folks, the Spirit had not yet removed the candlestick from this congregation. But He was wanting to remind them of the fervency that they one time had in their life. Tonight, I can't answer that for anybody else. All I can do is look in my own life and say, Lord, help me. But I don't want to lose the fire. I don't want to lose my first love. I don't want to allow the disappointments that life brings to all of us to crush me down, that we can't continue to experience the fullness of the joy and power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so he said, remember. Do you remember the inspiration you one time had? How long has it been tonight? Again, it's not my business. This is between each one of us and God. How long has it been since you have felt the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Heard people say it had been years since they had heard the Lord talk to them. And they come and they sing and they testify. And I think, what a miserable place to be in. You need to go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where you made your covenants with God and renew that with the Lord. Folks, the Lord wants to rekindle our love tonight. He wants to rekindle if the fire in your life is burning low, is burning dim. Don't let it go on. Folks, the enemy's doing all he can to put out the fire in our lives tonight. Lord, would you make live again? You know, if there's still smoke, what's the scripture say about that? The Lord's not going to quench it, will he? But he's going to go and blow on it. And he's going to revitalize it. And do you know what? If it still just won't light, the Lord can just take out his torch and light it. But he's going to get you fired again because of the presence of the Lord. But we have to return to Bethel. We have to return to the basics of our covenants that we have made with God. We must return to the vows, the things that God has shown you personally to do. And I'm saying it goes beyond what you've heard across this pulpit. When you sought God for direction in your life, and the Lord came along and spoke to you, are you still being faithful to those vows? And you said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. So many times people start out and they obey the Lord. And after a month, 6 months, a year, they forget their vows. And they begin to lose the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their life. I want to encourage you to go back to Bethel and remember the vows that you have made to the Lord. And the question is, have you been keeping those vows tonight? Consider the prophet Elijah for just a few minutes. Over in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, and for sake of time, we're going to summarize tonight. But Elijah, do you remember, he had just been at a wonderful, miraculous service with the Lord. He'd been with the prophets of Baal, and they were all praying to their gods. Whose God, Baal or the God of Israel? And as you know the story, the prophets of Baal got all excited and they danced and jumped and leaped. And Elijah, frankly, was being a little bit ornery with them. He said, well, maybe he's asleep or maybe he's gone. And so they began to cut themselves and they began to, were trying to get his attention. And Elijah prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't necessarily eloquent. It was just a simple prayer connecting with God. And God manifested himself and sent fire out of heaven. You turn and start reading what happened right after that. And where do we find Elijah? Where was he? He was running. Because he feared for his life. And I, in a sense, I look at that and think, Elijah, didn't you just see God do something wonderful and now you're scared and your faith is in crisis? And then I have to stop. I think I'm no different. How many times have I seen God work and then go through a time of questioning and a time of crisis? And I am so thankful that in those times that the root, and if you haven't experienced this, God bless you. But many of you have. When the root of your faith is being questioned, And the devil is contesting what you knew God had done in your life and for your life. The call that God gave to you when the Spirit of the Lord gave you a job, and down the road you just begin to question, Lord, is this even worth anything? Is it accomplishing anything? And that's where Elijah was. And he lay down under the tree and said, I just want to die. And you know, the Lord let him sleep a little bit. Lord gave him a little period of rest, and then the angel came. You know, if you're in a place of crisis tonight, the Lord has an angel for you. And he came and he woke him up and he said, here, eat. And Elijah ate. He was ministered to. And what did he do? He went back to sleep. And we could look at one another and say, the Lord just visited you. You need to get up. No, maybe the Lord knew Elijah needed a little bit more rest. And when the time was right, the angel of the Lord came a second time. And he said, get up and eat, because he said, the journey is too great for you.
That's right.
I am so cognizant tonight of the fact that the journey is too great for me. It's too great for you. And in those times of recognition, the Lord has something to minister to you. Elijah ate, and it said he went on that food for 40 days. On that meal, he went for 40 days, and he ended up in a cave. And the Lord asked him a question, and he said, what doest thou here? What are you doing here? Do you know, I noticed the Lord asked that question after he'd given Elijah some nourishment and helped him get down the road a little way. Then he began to ask, what are you doing here? And Elijah began to talk about how he had been afraid for his life, and he was standing for truth, and no one else in Israel was serving the Lord. And then the Lord sent the wind. God wasn't in it. He sent the earthquake, and he sent the fire, and God was not in it. Folks, tonight we can look for God to reveal himself in supernatural, miraculous, big ways. But do you know that when we come to Bethel, more often than not, we're going to find it just like Elijah did, when God speaks to us very quietly. What happens when the wind blows and the fire comes? There's an adrenaline rush. There's an adrenaline rush, and you get excited and you get fearful and things start happening inside. But you know how a mother speaks to her baby in just that quiet, still voice? God's still here. It's not in the fire, but it's in the still small voice of the Spirit of God. And the Lord asked him again, Elijah, what doest thou here? And then the Lord told Elijah, he said, to go back. Go back where you are working for me. He said, I have 7,000. There are still people that need to hear the gospel, the word of God. There are still people that love God, and I want you to go back, and I want you to keep being a prophet. You know, if God has given you a divine call tonight and a job to do, and I believe he has a job for all of us, there are times in life that maybe you might come to a fork in the road where you start questioning your calling. And I want to remind you, before you forsake your calling, please go back to Bethel. Go back. Go back to where God called you. Go back to where he made a covenant with you. Go back to where you made some consecrations to the Lord. And remember, and then listen for the Lord to talk. And the Lord told Elijah, he said, go back. And he said, go by way of the wilderness. And I am so amazed in that same chapter. Do you know where Elijah went? One of the first things we read of. He went and he cast his mantle over by where Elisha was out plowing the field. Do you know, just shortly before that, he was wanting to lay down and die. He had lost his vision. He lost his vision of what it was all about to work for God. But yet God called him to go back. And we find that after meeting back with the Lord, he was ready to go and call someone else to follow him to be another prophet. It was kind of hard to call someone to work for God when you're wanting to die under the tree, isn't it? There are times, folks, that all of us can go through a crisis of faith and a crisis of, am I really doing what's right? Is this really what God wants? Folks, if you will go back to Bethel, the Lord can reaffirm and confirm to you what His will is, and you can nail it to the cross. You can bring those things and put it on the altar. Think about Abraham when he put Isaac on the altar. Do you know, I found that that's a beautiful story of consecration. But I also find that the reality is in life, if Isaac is still on the altar for quite a while, sometimes the bands that hold him down start getting a little bit loose. And it's not that you've taken your consecration off, but folks, it means that with the things that life brings, sometimes we need to come back to the altar and cinch it down. Lord, it's starting to waffle a little bit. There's getting some movement there. And I want to rededicate and reconsecrate and reaffirm to you, Lord, that I mean to go all the way with you. Go back to Bethel. And so Elijah did that, and the Lord renewed He gave him new focus. He renewed his vision. He renewed his purpose. If we have never felt the need of rededicating our life to the Lord and reconsecrating again, I dare say it's because there's some callousness and some love grown cold. Because folks, life does this. Which means as God's people of God or people that want to do what please the Lord and do what's right, it means that we come back. Did not Jesus do that Himself? Jesus came to this world because He was willing to sacrifice His life on the cross for us. That's His purpose. That was His vision. And it was His desire. But yet, Christ Himself, we find Him in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, not my will. You know, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, Father, I don't want to do this in the flesh, but Father, I know that You have a plan. So not my will in the flesh, Lord, but Thy will be done. Folks, Christ was tying His consecration to the altar so that He could go all the way to the cross. And if Christ did it, and He prayed more than once, I know that we also are going to have those times in life that we say, Lord, I consecrated this to You. But through the events of life, I need to come back. I need to come back to Bethel where You met me and where there was a covenant made with God. And Lord, I want to renew that covenant with You. To give me the strength and the renewal that I can go forward doing the will of God with life and vitality and with listening and hearing the Spirit of God speaking. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Folks, God is not unreasonable. The covenant that God makes with us at our Bethels is not unreasonable. I want to read on in that passage. The next verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing. Making new again by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Do you know there is a renewing of the mind? I know there's a renewal when we get saved. There is a renewal under the unction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But folks, in life, because of things that happen and the philosophies and pressures around us, sometimes we just need to come back to Bethel and say, Lord, I need my mind to be renewed because I'm collecting a little bit too much garbage. And Lord, I want a renewal in my mind. my life that I can go forward and stay the course until the Lord comes back. Dear ones, the Lord has a place tonight of strength. He has a place of life. He has a place of victory for you. If you're not saved tonight, come back to Bethel. Come back to where the Lord will forgive you and renew you. If you have made a vow to the Lord, remember what it was. Have you been faithful? Is there a place tonight that we need to renew those vows and rededicate? Or maybe the cross is ahead of you and we need to do what Christ did. But folks, the Lord is calling for some to come back to Bethel tonight. And do you know, I'm going to conclude with this thought. I don't want to see any more of us lose out. I don't want to see any more of the young people walk away. I don't want to see any more middle age. Sometimes middle age kind of fall through the cracks, I think. Come back to Bethel. I don't want to see, I say us, Lucy, it's God, but we're all apart because we love each other. I don't want to see any more ministers lost. What is the answer? In my own life, what the Lord has been showing me is the answer is found in going back to Bethel. Where we met the Lord, where the presence of the Lord is, renewing those covenants and those vows with God. And I'm so thankful that we have a loving God that is just waiting for us to meet us at Bethel. Amen.